Hello, and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service. I'm Rob Walker. Today, it's back to Easter 1868, and a battle that would have a major impact on modern Ethiopian history, as well as determining the fate of one of its towering figures, Emperor Theodros II.
A dead silence brooded over the hills and narrow valley. It was a suspicious silence, knowing as we did that a wily enemy with a large force was in front.
This account is from a British military expedition as it closed in on the mountaintop stronghold belonging to Theodros II. The British had come to secure the release of a group of Europeans that the Ethiopian emperor was holding hostage.
Boom, boom, boom went three monstrous guns in quick succession, discharging 68-pound chain shot. And one continued blaze of fire announced to us below that he had 10 guns at work in real earnest.
Despite this show of defiance from his artillery, Theodros knew that he was completely outgunned. But this was a leader who'd spent a lifetime fighting.
Theodros began in quite humble background. He was a camel raider on the borders of Ethiopia. Very early on, he showed both extraordinary charisma in his personality, but also a great aptitude for military victory.
Philip Marston has written about the life of Theodros II. He says that despite his modest origins, Theodros had a vision of becoming a leader who could modernise and unify Ethiopia.
The powers of the Ethiopia tried to defeat him and eventually sort of embraced him, if you like, and took his own forces within them. And then he challenged them. And in 1855, he declared himself emperor of Ethiopia.
And at the point he came to power, Ethiopia had been divided bitterly, hadn't it, between different warring factions and warring regions?
Yes, I mean, for a couple of hundred years, really, there was no one ruler in the country. And so he brought to an end this period of chaos.
But in the 1860s, Theodros faced growing rebellion, and his own conduct became increasingly erratic and, at times, brutal. And then he came into conflict with European powers after he detained a number of missionaries and diplomats. That included 2 British envoys he imprisoned because Britain had failed to reply to a letter he'd sent asking for help defending Ethiopia from its enemies. After a standoff lasting several years, the British government finally decided there was no option but to use force to free its envoys from Ethiopia, or Abyssinia as it was then known. And the task was given to Sir Robert Napier.
To the governors, the chiefs, the religious orders, and the people of Abyssinia. It is known to you that Tedros, king of Abyssinia, detains in captivity the British consul Cameron, the British envoy Rassam, and many others, in violation of the laws of all civilized nations. All friendly persuasion having failed to obtain their release, my sovereign has commanded me to lead an army to liberate them.
This letter was distributed as Robert Napier prepared his assault on Theodros, who by this point was retreating to a near impregnable fortress in the Ethiopian highlands.
Sir Robert Napier, as he then was, he assembled this extraordinary force, tens of thousands of troops, 55,000 animals, 44 elephants, built a railway up to the highlands. This supply line slowly up into the very, very difficult highlands.
And finally, several months after landing at the coast, the British force came in sight of Magdala, Theodros's mountaintop stronghold. It was here the emperor had concentrated his family, along with his army and the European prisoners. On Good Friday 1868, his forces attacked the invaders.
Over 3,500 of the enemy were galloping, animated by wild fury, down the hill.
This is the account of the explorer and journalist Henry Morton Stanley, who accompanied the British mission.
"Commence firing from both flanks," rang out clear as a silver bell from Colonel Cameron. And like a stream of fire, volleys ran from side to side without a pause, raining such a storm of leaden hail that the enemy halted from sheer astonishment. Against a very wall of fire, discharging bullets by the 100 to their 1, what could matchlocks and spears effect?
So, I mean, it's a huge defeat for the army of Theodros. What does he do now, and what does Robert Napier do now?
Theodros was still on Magdala, so he'd lost the major part of his fighting force, and he was there on the cliff with the hostages still in his hand, with Napier and his forces assembled below. He's in a quandary, and he is advised to sue for peace. So he sends down a verbal message And Napier responds to Theodosius' offer of peace.
It is my desire that no more blood be shed. If, therefore, your majesty will submit to the Queen of England, and bring all the Europeans now in your majesty's hands, and deliver them safely this day in the British camp, I guarantee honourable treatment for yourself and for all the members of your majesty's family.
Theodros is sitting there dictating a letter to Napier when actually he receives Napier's stern offer of surrender and honourable treatment. And at that moment, it seems, Theodros realises that he's defeated. And as he dictates this letter, his tone changes and he seems almost to be offering a sort of final farewell.
The people who loved me and followed me fled, abandoning me because they were afraid of a single bullet. If God had allowed me, I'd planned to rule all. If God prevented me, my intention was to die.
He sends the letter off and then goes and is seen to pray. And having prayed, he then takes out a gun, puts it in his mouth and pulls the trigger. But the gun doesn't go off. He's then grappled to the ground by his aides. He tries another shot, it grazes his ear. And he realizes then perhaps that actually he isn't defeated. So the next day he sued for peace, if you like.
Satan awakened in me the thought I should die by my own gun. But when I cocked the hammer of my gun and put it into my mouth, though I pulled and pulled the trigger, it refused to fire. As regards what you've told me, namely that all the Europeans should come, all right, let them go to you.
This conciliatory letter from Theodros was sent down to Robert Napier on Easter Sunday. It came with a gift of cattle and sheep that were meant as a mark of good faith. The emperor thought this gift had been accepted, signalling that negotiations had started and that he might therefore be allowed to stay in power. And so at this point he released the hostages. In fact, Napier had refused to allow the livestock into his camp.
And so this confusion right at the moment of the gift being accepted allowed Theodros to be deceived, deliberately or not, to release the hostages.
So at that point, presumably, he's in a very difficult situation because the British hold all the cards now.
Yes. At one moment, he decides to flee with some of his closest supporters, to slip away past the British. He then sort of has a second thought about that and makes a last desperate stand on the high bit of the mountain itself.
And what happened then?
Well, Theodros closed the gate and they retreated. The British were shelling. They managed to get through the gate, the British. And as they were getting through, Theodros and his five remaining people fled up onto the last of the mountain. And Theodros shouted out to his supporters, I release you from all allegiance.
And at this point, two soldiers from the British force saw Theodros. He was now alone.
They observed a man standing near a haystack with a revolver in his hand. When they saw him prepare to fire, he ran behind the haystack, and both men plainly heard a shot fired. Marching on, they saw the man who had run behind lying prostrate on the ground, dying.
What legacy has he left, do you think?
Well, it's very interesting what Theodros means now in Ethiopian history, because in one sense he was a sort of a brutal and very mercurial leader, who was also the only one to be conclusively defeated by an outside power. And yet, for a lot of people, Theodros is seen as the progenitor of this idea that Ethiopia could be a powerful nation, a united nation. And he's seen almost as a martyr to that cause.
That was the writer Philip Marsden on the extraordinary life of the Ethiopian Emperor Theodros II. And Philip's book on this subject is called The Barefoot Emperor. That's it for today's Witness with me, Rob Walker. For details of our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.